I'm going to pray before we start. God, thank you so much for your presence here. God, that you've called each and every one of us to yourself, God, and to your house. And God, that right now you've got something really to speak to us. And God, I pray you just have your hand on this time that we have together, God, and really just be speaking clearly, God. And that you've just got a real word, I believe, for our hearts and for our lives. And God, that you would just speak it out. And God, that I would just get out of the way and that you would just speak and have your way tonight. Amen. Awesome. Well, it's good to have you all here. I'm glad that everybody made it to Explosion tonight. My message tonight is called, Don't Worry. No, close. Seek God. I did actually in my preparation this afternoon, listen to the whole of Don't Worry, Be Happy by, I can't remember his name. There you go. I did not listen to that. I listened to, it was Bob, it's not Bob Marley, but it's some other guy named Bobby that is also Jamaican or something. Anyway, doesn't really matter. So I was going to play it, but then I decided not to. But you know the song anyway, so you know you can just whistle it in your head, not out loud, as I do the message. But I was reading in Matthew 6, because it's Jesus Culture Part B, And in this whole section, and this has really been kind of one of the passages of Scripture, I guess, that I've read a lot in my lifetime, all 25 years, and just about not worrying but seeking God with everything you've got. And I think it's something that I'm not always perfect at, but is that something that I want to live my life by. And definitely, like, if there was going to be a verse that was my life verse, it would be seek first his kingdom and his righteousness and all these things will be given to you. And so this is, I guess, really, I don't know, I like speaking on this, and hopefully tonight I just kind of want to share, I guess, some of my heart on it, and hopefully that's good. So it says in Matthew 6, it says, I tell you, don't worry about your life, what you'll eat or drink, or about your body, what you wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They don't sow or reap or store away in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? I really like this in, like, Mark, I think it is, and he says, if you can't do even this simple thing, why would you worry about anything else? I just think it's really funny. Jesus says, like, adding an hour to your life is just like this easy thing that you can't do. And I don't know, it shows me how much more powerful God is than me. It says, why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. And we know that Solomon was the most wealthy and wisest king probably ever in the entire world. And so he's kind of saying, you know, if there's anybody that was going to look impressive, it would be Solomon, and the fields are more amazing than that. And you know that that's true. You see those incredible photos of stuff. You know what I'm talking about. If that's how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you of little faith? So don't worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Don't worry, seek God. I think it's so easy to get caught up in the worries of life and consumed with, like, you know, what's happening and focus on the things around us or what we think is going to happen, that we never seek God and we never do what he has for us and we never fulfill the thing that he has called us to do, because we just get so caught up with worrying about, you know, what we will eat or what we will drink or what we will wear or what's going to happen tomorrow, yeah? And these things just can get us and do that. But I think, like, worry robs us of fulfilling God's purpose and robs us of the God-given purpose that God has for our life. Amen. Cool. And Jesus is just really, I think, just really simply trying to say, stop worrying about all this stuff. Don't worry. Don't worry about like this life and what's going well or what's not going well or what's happening. Don't focus on what you need or what you want. Don't worry that you don't have enough or you might not get enough or any of that. It says, but seek God first. Seek His kingdom and His righteousness. Seek His plan and His purpose and put everything else to the side and just focus on Him. And then it's just the promise is that God knows that you need that and that you will live in that. And that's a promise from God. You can trust a promise from God. In Luke 10, there's this story, you know, maybe of Martha and Mary, these sisters. And I just was thinking about it when I read this because Jesus goes to their house. And you know the story, Martha is there, like she's cleaning, she's trying to cook something for Jesus, she's doing all this stuff, and Mary is just sitting there listening to Jesus and everything that he said. And so then Martha, it says, oh, I'll read it. Verse 39, she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what he said, but Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to him and asked, Lord, don't you care that my sister has left me to do all the work by myself? Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha, the Lord answered, you are worried and upset about many things, but only one thing is needed. Mary has chosen what is better, and it will not be taken away from her. I love that Jesus says, like, you're worried and you're stressed out about all of this stuff, too much stuff. He says, but Mary, she's worked it out. She's chosen the one thing that you need to worry about, and that's just sitting and listening to God and seeking God and getting His plan and His purpose and not worrying about everything else, but there's just one thing, yeah? And I guess, I think all of you are probably with me on this, given who is here tonight, but like I've never understood people saying like you shouldn't be too committed to church or you shouldn't get too committed to God. You know, you should kind of keep a bit to yourself or you should make sure you look after yourself first. You know, people say that and just, I don't know, for me, it doesn't fit with my understanding of who God is. Yeah, it doesn't fit with what I know God has done for me. And I'm not saying, you know that I'm not saying, like, ignore your family and don't be responsible for your life and for things like that. That's not what I'm saying. But I'm saying that there's no such thing as too committed. Jesus died for you on a cross for your sin. He gave His whole life for me. What could I do that could be too much? That doesn't make sense, yeah? And so I think we need to, I don't know, it's this focus thing where we say instead of being worried about like whether we're getting the things that we need, I want to be worried about whether I'm doing the things that God has called me to do. That's the only thing I want to fear, I want to worry about, yeah? Because a life that is totally lived for God, I can't think of a better way to spend a life than to do that. Yeah, I can't think of anything that we can do. And God's promise is that if I do that and if I seek Him first, that He will provide all of my needs, everything that I need, and He knows what they are. And so I think either we take Him at His word and we take that seriously and we say, okay, God, I'm going to take You up on that. Or we call Him a liar by worrying about our own lives and worrying about everything. And so I guess tonight I want to talk a bit about how we can stop worrying. I just have, I guess, a few thoughts and a few things that I think are really linked together. And so I'm going to say them together and then I'm going to go through them one at a time. But it was kind of one of those times. Sometimes I do a message where I want to say all three points at once because they work together. And if I say them, you know, anyone know what I mean? But I can't do that. Could have like filmed one maybe and I could have, but nobody would understand it. So I'm just going to talk about them in order. But here we go. So I think we need to understand the size and the power of God. We need to understand the love of God and we need to understand His purpose for our lives. And I think these things work together and they don't work separately from each other, yeah? We were watching the other night at home that new David Attenborough Arctic polar, whatever it is, like ice animals. What's it called? I don't know. Frozen Planet. And it had polar bears on it. And we were looking up like how enormous polar bears are. And it's crazy. They're huge. You know, like a polar bear, like even when it's on all fours, it's like comes up to about like here on me. That's huge. That's it's just its arm is that big, yeah? And if it stands up, it's like over 3 meters tall and can weigh like 500 kilos. That's like a barina or something, I think, isn't it? Like that's a small car That's a polar bear. And I was like, wow, that is huge. And I guess I just got this thought today that what if I understand that God, you know, this is, I've got some license here. This isn't in the Bible, but I think you'll get my point. What if I get this idea that God is like this giant wild polar bear that loves me? Come on, imagine that. So you've just got this giant polar bear that is in love with you and will follow you and will do anything for you, yeah, and is there. Like if I've got this giant polar bear, you know, 3 meters tall, like a small car, I'm not going to be worried that someone will mess with me. I'm not going to be worried about what's going to happen in my life, because if something happens to me, there's this polar bear that cares about me that, you know, will sort it out. It's not like the Bundaberg Rum polar bear who's all chilled out. This is like a wild, epic polar bear that will just eat people. You get it? Get my point? Well, there you go. I did not know that. Gentle what? Gentle Ben. Look it up when you get home. Sounds very epic and intense, I'm sure. I don't think that's going to really... Just stick with my illustration here and don't worry about any alcohol companies or ancient TV shows. We're here. All right, but I think when we understand that God who created everything and has all power over all things and then who loves us so much that he sent his son to die for us and to give up his spot in heaven and to die in our place, then we would have no hesitation in following him and in giving him all of our lives and in seeking him and doing everything we can to fulfill his purpose in our lives, yeah? You don't need to worry because you would trust him completely. And I think, like, I don't know, I sometimes, you think of God as like just distant and like, you know, just God. It's like, it's hard to think about. But what if God was this giant bear that was next to me and he was for me and he would mess you up if you messed with me? Like, what if that was what God was like? And when, I don't know, that was helping me understand. So first, you need to understand the power of God. Mitch said before, but we watched Indescribable again on Friday night with the young guys at youth, and I love it. Every time I watch that, I'm just struck again just by how enormous God is. And even thinking about how like there's like 7 billion people now on the planet, and God knows each of us by name, but there is like, I don't know, thousands of billions of stars, and God knows each of them by name. And that's just like, it's like knowing and caring for 7 billion people is like easy for God. Like it's not, like that's kind of the limit. And if, you know, if we have too many more babies, then God's going to struggle. It's like God has a plan and a purpose for that. And he knows what's going on. And he created everything, including you and including me and including polar bears. And so he did all of that. And really, like that would be enough to worship and fear him for the rest of our lives, yeah? And I think sometimes I forget about that and we focus so much on the love of God, which we should, and I'll get into that more, but sometimes, honestly, like, maybe I need to just, you know, fear God because he's huge and because he's God, amen? And you know, if you have, like, a wild polar bear in the room, you would respect that. And you wouldn't muck around with the bear. Yeah. I was like, really? I don't know. There was no way to get a polar bear here, but that would have been awesome. Yeah. Imagine that, just like behind me on the stage was a polar bear and nobody would hear a word that I said, but there would be a polar bear. Maybe one day we'll do that. That'd be really cool. I don't know how we could make that happen. Maybe we'll just get a polar bear suit. Someone can dress up. Heath will do it. All right, next time we do this message, you're with me. I don't know. And so I guess I kind of thought, I was like, honestly, if I'm worrying about what's happening in my life all the time, then maybe I'm not really getting how big God is. Maybe my brain is not really understanding the size of my God. if I'm just going to worry about stuff. You know, what reality do you live in? Do you live in like the world reality, or do you live in a God reality where like the world reality is that worry is a natural reaction to circumstance. Like things happen that are bad or look like they're going to be bad, and so you worry. But we're not called to live in the natural, we're called to live in the supernatural and live in the power of God and live in the kingdom of heaven. And so worry is not a natural thing. Worry is a bad thing. Worry is an unnatural response to a circumstance that is overshadowed by the power of God, yeah? And no matter what. And so why would I live in reality when reality isn't even real? You get me? Like, why would I let that be the thing that I say, all right, this is going to define my existence, instead of saying, well, this God that created everything, that should be what defines my existence. That's the scale that I should use of worry. It's like you look at a little tiny dog and you're scared of it because it's going to try and bite you, and you forget that there's this polar bear next to you. You get it? In Matthew 8, there's this story, and it's about the disciples and Jesus are in a boat. And it says in verse 24, without warning, a furious storm came up on the lake so that the waves swept over the boat, but Jesus was sleeping. The disciples went and woke him and said, Lord, save us, we're going to drown. He replied, you of little faith, why are you so afraid? Then he got up and rebuked the winds and the waves, and it was completely calm. The men were amazed and asked, what kind of man is this? Even the winds and the waves obey him. And Mark tells the same story, and he says they were terrified and asked each other, who is this? Even the wind and waves obey him. Why do we worry about our lives when God is in the boat with us? Like, why do we worry? Like, we're in a storm, but God is right there in the boat next to us. And why do I get more worried about the storm than I am about the God who controls the storm? And so the disciples, they're right to be terrified when Jesus calms the storm, because they have this realization there in the boat that they are in the boat with God. No, that would freak me out. Come on. And then Matthew 10, Jesus says in verse 28, don't be afraid of those who kill the body but can't kill the soul. Rather, be afraid of the one who can destroy both soul and body in hell. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid, you are worth more than many sparrows. Whoever acknowledges me before man, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before man, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. Now the Jesus culture, I don't think, is just all nice and sweet and love and peace and all of that stuff. It is that, but it's more than that. You know, God is huge and immensely powerful, creator of the universe. And I think we need to understand that. And I think if we start to understand that, then instead of worrying and fearing the world and the circumstance of the world, I might start to fear God for who he is, yeah? And the other things that I worry about might just fade away a little bit if I realize that God is God and he is sitting there right next to me in my life, amen? And so I think if we want to not worry, then we need to understand just how big God is. But then the next thing that needs to be connected to that is understanding how much God loves you. You know, I think it's like this always amazes me that this huge and powerful God, creator of the universe, actually loves and cares for me as an individual. And he's not angry, but he's compassionate. He's not judgmental, but he's merciful. He just has so much for me and loves me so much, as well as being huge and powerful and creator of the universe. And that's amazing, yeah? And I think we can think of God as uncaring or distant, or that like he doesn't really concern himself with like what is going on in our life or what's going on in the world. He kind of sits upstairs and kind of watches this all kind of happen in the world. But that's not how God is. That's not what God does. And God isn't just like, he doesn't just love you, but God actually is love. And God is actually the definition of love, and that's amazing, and you know it, but he loved us so much that Jesus came and died for us, and that's incredible. Now, in Romans 8:31, it says, if God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also, along with him, graciously give us all things? Who will bring any charge against those whom God has chosen? It is God who justifies. Who is he that condemns? Christ Jesus, who died, and more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. Who then shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall trouble or hardship or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it's written, for your sake we face death all day long. We are considered as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor demons, nor present nor future, nor any powers, nor height nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen? And that's the truth of it. That's the truth of the Jesus culture. Is not a bunch of rules or a bunch of good ideas, but it's we are loved and chosen and prized by God, and that's incredible, yeah? And I think that worrying is not understanding the power and the love of God. And, you know, we get that there's this giant polar bear next to you that is in love with you and would do anything for you, then what do you need to worry about? Seriously, like maybe you feel like that's like an oversimplification, and maybe like there are things in life that are hard, and I understand that. Like God doesn't say that you won't have storms; He just says that He'll be there in the storm. And so we need to remember that, and we need to get that God is there and that He loves us so much. And I don't think that I get it. I don't think that you get it, to be honest. Like I don't think that any of us really get how much God loves us. But He does, and that's an insane reality. The power and the love of God. And then I think out of that we need to understand His purpose for our lives. Because, you know, we weren't created just to sit about. We weren't created for no reason. We weren't created just to kind of live out our days and die. And you know, there's like the circle of life or whatever. That wasn't really what we were made for. But God has a plan and a purpose for all of us, and something significant for us to do. And it's so much bigger than any purpose you can come up with on your own. Nothing that you can come up with is going to be as big as anything that God can come up with, yeah? So let's not get caught worrying about tomorrow. You know, what you'll do or what you want to do with your life. Like, I think it's really good to have vision, but it's better to get God's vision for your life. And it's better to get on board with His purpose instead of trying to convince God to join your purpose. Now, you don't tell a giant wild polar bear what to do. You kind of do what it wants to do and hope it doesn't kill you, yeah? And, you know, God's not going to kill us, which is awesome, but He could. It's true. So let's seek first His kingdom and His righteousness and not put our own interests and ideas first, but God's first, yeah? And that's what Jesus did, and that's what blows me away. You know, Jesus did everything that God wanted Him to do. And every single thing that God told Him to do, all the way to the cross, He did it, and it cost Him everything. You know, I can't even imagine what it's like. Like, I can't imagine what it's like to die. I haven't died. None of you have died. We can't imagine what it is like to die, but we all know that one day we will die. But I can't imagine what it would be like for Jesus to die when He's God. It's like there's not even a frame of reference for Him for death. Like, he knows that created beings die, but God never dies. But then Jesus became a man and did die. Like, wow. I don't know, maybe I just think about these things like that, but think about it. And it's just incredible that Jesus did that. And I was just so struck by, I guess, the humility and selflessness of Jesus. Just what He did for us. And in Philippians 2, it says, you know, if you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, and if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and in purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should not look only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made Himself nothing, taking on the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness, and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him in the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Amen. Now, why should I worry about my life? I think if, like, we're serious about following Christ, then, like, our life has already been bought, and it's already not our own, and it's already not about us, and so there's no point in worrying about what I'm going to do, or worrying about what's going to happen to me, or whether I'm going to be successful, or whether I'm going to get the things that I want in my life. But really, the thing that I want to worry about is that I would just do what God has for me, and I would live the kind of life that he is calling me to live, and that I would follow the example of Christ Jesus, which is such a huge challenge, you know, and that, like, I just would respond just to the incredible love and power of God by giving him everything that I've got. And I know that all of us want to do that here tonight, and we're all on the same page with that, yeah. I believe that God's kingdom and God's church will be built by people who are willing to just lay down their life and follow God no matter what, no holding back. And it's not going to take anything less than that to do something significant for God, you know. Well, I think we need to be people who are just willing to give their all for his kingdom, not worrying about ourselves and our own needs, but trusting that God, when he says he will provide, that he will provide. And taking God on his word that when he says, if I seek him, that he will provide all my needs, and that he knows all my needs. And I think the Jesus culture is God first and self last. And even though Jesus is God, he demonstrated that to us. It was just so incredible. And so I guess tonight, that's what all I've got, really, that we would just, as a group of people and as a church, that we would get the culture of Jesus, and that we would seek God with all we have and seek his kingdom and seek his righteousness and not worry about anything else, and not worry, but seek God. I'm going to pray. Let's pray together. God, I just thank you so much for who you are. God, we worship you not just because of what you've done for us, but because you're God. And God, I want you to just show us that more and more, God, and help us to see that more and more, and never take for granted that you are who you say you are, and you have all power and all authority, and you reign forever, God. And God, we thank you for that, and we thank you for your incredible love. Thank you for Jesus, that he died on a cross for us, and that he gave up his spot in heaven and his, like, position as God to die for us. And God, I pray that you would just show us what that means more. And God, show us what that means for our friends and our family more. God, that we would be people that seek your will and purpose, your kingdom and your righteousness above all things, God. And God, we thank you for your promise, God. And you don't need a promise or do us anything, God. You don't need to do anything for us, but you promise that you will give us good things and more, and that you will fulfill every need that we have, even in this world, and that's incredible, God. And so we thank you for that. And God, I just pray that we would just be about your kingdom and your purpose, and you would stir our hearts to seek you more and more and more. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Maybe you just want, like, a fresh heart for God tonight, or like a fresh relationship with him. I don't know where you're at with that, but I want to give this time like we always do. And we'll pray that together. And so the guys will put this prayer up on the screen, and you might know it, but we're going to pray that together. And if you feel like you're far from God, then, you know, God is only as far away as you asking him to come to you. So I was reading the other day this story about these blind people, and Jesus, like, walks past them, and they call out to him, and he says, "What is it that you want?" And they say, "We want our sight." And then when they say that, Jesus has compassion on them, and he heals them, and they see. And I'm really interested that Jesus asks them what they want. And when they ask for it, he heals. And I think we need to ask for it. God's not going to force you to follow him. He's not going to force you to live for him. He's not going to force you to seek him. But when you ask him, he will provide and he will come close and he will draw near. And so let's just have that opportunity right now. We'll just pray this together. And if you, you know, if you want to pray that fresh, then pray it from your heart. Dear Jesus, I believe in you. Thank you for forgiving me. Come into my life. I'll follow you. Amen. Thanks, guys.